And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this week. On the podcast today, we're going back to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. As we kind of wrap up our story of Mephibosheth, our study on Mephibosheth, and we're going to look at the overarching story, and that is Mephibosheth as a type of the redeemed sinner. Mephibosheth as a type of the redeemed sinner. So go ahead and be turning to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Just as a kind of a program note, we are changing the provider for the podcast site to a different provider, and hopefully that won't create any issues for anyone. But if you're not able to, if things look a little different and things are a little slow and whatnot, that's why, okay? We're changing the provider. So you be much in prayer for me as this occurs. All right. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. We're going to read a few verses here. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may shew the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence, and David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" For me, the biggest clue that this is talking about a redeemed sinner is the last two words, "I am." Such a dead dog as I am. Mephibosheth says this, and it is a powerful thing. But this is a perfect type, or nearly perfect type, of the born-again, redeemed sinner. First off, we're looking at Mephibosheth. Now, we've talked about some of the details. We've talked about his ages. We've talked about the meaning of the names. We're not going to go back over that. But who was this Mephibosheth? Number one, he was born royalty. He was born as royalty. Now, if you go and look at the birth of Adam, I do say birth. He was created, I know that. But that was his birth. His birth, when his body received the inspiring spirit of God and he received the breath of life and became a living soul, that's the moment of his birth. He was not born the same way everybody else was, but he was born and he was perfect. And he was, according to the book of Luke, chapter number 3, the Son of God. Read that. The Son of Adam, the Son of God, is the last few words of that chapter. I believe it's chapter 3 of the book of Luke. That's the second genealogy of Jesus Christ, starting with Jesus, who was supposed the son of Joseph, the son of etc., 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 the son of Adam, the Son of God. Adam was royalty, but he fell from that royal place through no fault of his own. What Mephibosheth's fault that he was not part of the royal family anymore. He was former royalty. In fact, he was the crown prince after the death of his father. He should have been king. He should have been king. Had the lineage followed the physical line like it should have, Ishbosheth usurped over Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was rightfully king. And even with Ishbosheth doing what he did, Mephibosheth should have been the next in line. He was royalty, and yet he was deprived of that inheritance and family by forces outside of his control. And you know, sinners cannot help being sinners. Adam willingly sinned and plunged the entire human race into sin. You're born into sin, and you cannot escape it on your own. You can't. It's impossible. It's impossible for the sinner to redeem himself or herself. You must be redeemed by someone who can pay the price. And we cannot pay the price. Furthermore, he was crippled by a misstep. Somebody in their negligence crippled Mephibosheth. But then he was carried to the bad place, the land of Lodabar. Now, that was close by. That was close by where Ishbosheth had set up his operation, but it was out of the way for Israel. More to the point, it was on the wrong side of the Jordan River. If the Jordan River is a type of the salvation experience, and I'm not going to say it is. The salvation experience is the crossing of the Red Sea. The crossing of the Jordan represents the experience of becoming a surrendered believer. But for those who had not had the Red Sea crossing experience, those who were too young, the crossing of the Jordan was their salvation experience. And there were folks that never crossed the Jordan. Mm-hmm. The children and the women, the wives of the men of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, who did not cross over Jordan. There were people in that congregation never crossed Jordan. Mm-hmm. And the Jordan River can be taken as a type of salvation. Lodabar is on the wrong side of Jordan. You need to go across the Jordan for the salvation experience from Lodabar in a desolate place. So let's look in a little bit more detail. The height from which he fell from a great height. You know, think about Mephibosheth. He was grandson of Saul. Let's look at that today. What's one of the most famous families? The Kennedys. So you have John Fitzgerald Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy and several other Kennedys. A famous family, a great political family in the United States. The Roosevelts would have been another one. The Vanderbilts, to get a little bit closer to Asheville, would have been a great family. There are many others, the Hiltons. And Mephibosheth was heir to Saul. He was. He was a living heir. He was the eldest. He was the firstborn son of the firstborn son, which gave him the birthright to the kingdom and to everything that Saul had. So he fell from a great height, and he fell, and that caused him to be lame too. Understand, Jonathan was first in line for the throne. Mephibosheth was next. He had it all. He had power. He had money. He had royal blood. And then he lost it all. His father and grandfather were killed by the Philistines at Mount Gilboa. He was only 5 years old. He wasn't able to do anything. And then his nurse dropped him. He fell and was lame on both of his feet, meaning he could not get up on his own. He had to have help. And then one of his own relatives took the throne from him, Ishbosheth. Mephibosheth's in a pretty bad predicament here. We sinners have the same problem. Through no fault of our own, we were dropped and became lame, spiritually speaking. Through no fault of our own, sin was introduced by our whole bunch of greats, grandfather, Adam, who fell from a great height from being royalty. Now, the place where he's living, we've already talked about the meaning of Lodabar. It can mean some other things. I've been saying it means no pasture. But it could also mean no word or no communication. And if it's no word, that means there's nothing good comes out of Lodabar. Where else do you know that people said nothing good comes out of? Nazareth, right? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. That's a town of thieves and robbers. That's the ghetto. And Lodabar was that type of place. Wrong side of Jordan, wrong side of the tracks. And Mephibosheth was there. He raised his own son, Micah, there. Yeah. But now let's look at the change in his fortune. He had a change in his destiny as the king remembers his covenant. That very first verse, he says, "Is there not yet left a descendant of Saul that I may shew the kindness of God?" What is the kindness of God? What is the ultimate kindness of God? Salvation. David said, "I want to show Mephibosheth what God's really like." Right now, Mephibosheth thinks God's probably some vindictive, angry God who just takes out on him the things that happened to his grandfather. Mm-hmm. David says, "I want to show him the kindness of God." And he says it more than once. In fact, I think he says it thrice. But it wasn't until this chapter that David's firmly established his kingdom. And so now he's able to do this without it creating a problem. What problem could it create? By lifting Mephibosheth up, David was, in a way, undermining his own claim to the throne. Because Mephibosheth was the rightful heir. And now David's going to elevate him? Notice that Mephibosheth is not the one who seeks out David. Mephibosheth is not trying to find David. He knows who David is. And as far as he's concerned, David's a usurper, and why would he call out to David? All David's going to do when he finds out he's around is kill him. That would be the way of the world. David seeks him out. "Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost?" And so Mephibosheth is fetched. And he probably thought David was going to do something to him, you know, kill him or something, do some bodily harm to him. But imagine as you go in that throne room and you're going before the king and you can't even hold yourself up. You can't walk in there. You've got to be carried in there or you've got to crawl in there. And the king says, "Mephibosheth," can you imagine the sweet sound of that practiced singer, the great sweet psalmist of Israel, David, as he sings out, "Mephibosheth." Mephibosheth is scared to death, I'm sure. But you know what? It's tone that matters in this case. See, in written communication, we lose a lot of things. But experts in communications tell us that a little over 5% of the communications is found in the content of the communications. About 40% is in the tone of it, and the remainder is body language and other nonverbal cues. And if that wasn't enough, he says, "Fear not. Fear not." He can hear the trembling in Mephibosheth's voice as he says, Mephibosheth replies to him when he says, "Mephibosheth." David hears the trembling in his voice, says, "Fear not." You know, I'm glad one day when I was under conviction and I was trembling and the Lord called out to me and I in trembling said, "Lord, I'm undone. I'm a sinner." He said, "Fear not." Hallelujah for the fear nots of the Bible. Now it would be enough for Mephibosheth to simply be pardoned for the fact that he was of the line of Saul. That would have been quite sufficient. But that wasn't the end of it. David, number one, gives him back his land. and gives him the prosperity of the land that he once possessed. The inheritance. See, we have an inheritance, folk. We did not earn it. It is ours by birthright. It's ours three ways. It's ours by adoption. It's ours by marriage. And it's ours by rebirth. We are given the rebirth. And the inheritance follows. The land that we were kicked out of. The land that Adam was kicked out of. The land of Eden, where the tree of life was. One day, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, and the tree of life will be there, and we will be able to partake of its 12 fruits each month. We're going to regain the land. That's what happened to Mephibosheth, see? He regained the land. He regained title to the lands owned by Saul, which is in the correct side of the Jordan River in Gibeah in the land of Benjamin. Saul owned all that. He was one of those in Gibeah. He owned property. He had that place. He had probably built some sort of palace. It wasn't much, more than likely, but he had built something and he had all that. And David says, Mephibosheth, everything that was Saul's is yours. Everything, folk, that Adam had is ours. But there's more to it. There's more to it. He says, I'm going to give you servants. I'm going to give you help. I'm glad he sent another comforter. Ziba here is a type of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said he would send us another comforter, a servant. I mean, I realize he's God. We're supposed to be his servants. But let me tell you something. When the going gets tough and things are happening and you get discouraged or maybe even you get depressed, the Holy Ghost is there as a comforter to serve you. To serve you in your time of need. I realize we're supposed to be his servant, but at the same time, he serves us when we need ministering. He helps us. We get the Holy Ghost as a comforter, as a help. But then we also get the presence of the king. We get the presence. Mephibosheth was to eat food at David's own table continually. Every meal. He'd get up for breakfast, sit down at David's table. He'd get up, he'd come up for lunch, and he'd sit down at David's table. He'd go up for supper, and he'd sit down at David's table and partake of the king's meat. Now that's serious. He was eating the finest food in the entire land. Let me tell you, folks, we get to partake of the king's table. We get to partake. We, born again, redeemed sinners, get to feast on meat that's for the king, for God himself. What an amazing, marvelous thing we have. You might say he was given a glorious inheritance and he was given ample provision for everything he needed, and he had an extreme privilege. Now, folk, what a wonderful thing. We who lost everything in Adam regain everything through Christ and him crucified. And that is the only way we can regain anything. We now, instead of being on the run from the king, we have favor with the king. The king is with us and we're with him, and we're eating with the kings. David even said, you're going to be like one of the king's sons. You're going to be like one of the king's sons, and you're going to have authority. The Lord Jesus made possible for us to be heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs means you share in it equally. If somebody dies without a will, and I realize the Bible is God's will and testament. I realize that. But if someone dies without a will in North Carolina, there's a certain division of property that has to be made. Everybody has to share in it according to the proportions set aside by law. Oh, I'm telling you, folk. I'm telling you. You know the most amazing thing? Mephibosheth had no legal right to any of this. If justice were served, Mephibosheth would have been left in Lodabar. But thanks to the good grace of God, he gets what he didn't deserve, and he didn't get the exile that he did deserve. There's a present invitation. There's a present invitation to the agents of Zebas today. If the Holy Ghost is Zeba, then the servants of Zeba are those who minister and those who preach. And those who preach go out, and we are sent to fetch the Mephibosheths of this world. The ones who have not yet found Jesus Christ. We are sent to fetch them. Bring them in. Bring them before the king. They will have the option of refusing once they're in front of the king. But go fetch them. Bring them. Bring them in. Bring them in. Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come before it's everlasting too late. We bring them before God. We who are spiritual successors of this Zeba. The invitation is set. We have the invitation. We are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're invited to salvation. But folk, when we accept that invitation, and we, like Mephibosheth, are able to eat at the table of the high and mighty king, when we are able to partake of that royal food, remember, we didn't make it there on our own. We didn't ask to be there. We didn't try to fight our way there. We did not earn our way there. The only reason we're there is because the Lord said, I wish to show the kindness of God to them. That's the very definition of grace. Mephibosheth had no right to it, but David said, Is there any left of the house of Saul that I may shew the kindness of God? The servant was found. The servant knew. The servant went and fetched. And Mephibosheth answered and bowed before his king. And then he said, such a dead dog as I am. My folk. What a wonderful thing this salvation is. What a wonderful story we have here in the Word of God. It's real, by the way. It's real. It really happened. David really had this sort of grace. And thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus has that sort of grace to us today. Even today, we have that grace of God to help us and to save us from our sins. To save this unworthy sinner from his sins. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for today. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, that is Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And the Lord willing, we'll see you here again next time for the I Want to Know More podcast.